We're doing texts 5 through 8. Correct? Yeah, 5 through 8. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Narayanam Namaskritya.
Narayanam
Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Sato Jayam Udirayat. Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke. Bhakti Bhavati Naishtaki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should first offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and Srila Prabhupada, the translator and commentator. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering service unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. So, when Srila Sanatana Goswami was a young boy, he had a dream. In that dream, a man came to him and gave him a precious gift, gave him the Bhagavatam. And so the very next day, when he woke up, lo and behold, a Brahmin came and gave him the Bhagavatam. So Srimad Bhagavatam was very dear to Srila Sanatana Goswami from a very young age in his life. So at a certain point, and I happen to admit I don't know when, but he wrote this Krishna Lila Stava, which was his offering of 108 obeisances to the pastimes of the Lord as depicted in Srimad Bhagavatam up until the point where Krishna goes to Mathura. The end of Krishna Lila Stava, he has composed a few varieties of prayers, and one of the set of prayers is this glorification of Srimad Bhagavatam, which goes like this, and all of those who know it can sing along. Sarva Shastra Dipiyusa, Sarva Vedaika Satpala, Sarva Siddhanta Ratnadya, Sarva Lokaika Drikpada, Sarva Bhagavata Pranam, Srimad Bhagavata Prabhu, Kalidvano Ditaditya, Shri Krishna Parivartita, Paramananda Pattaya, Prema Vakshaksharayate, Sarvada Sarva Sevyaya, Shri Krishnaya Namostute, Mad Eka Bandhu Mad Sangin, Mad Guru Mad Mahadana, Mad Nistaraka Mad Bhagya, Mad Ananda Namostute, Asadu Sadu Tadayin, Ati nicho chitaraka hana mucha kadachin mam premna rit katayospara. And the translation is, O Srimad Bhagavatam, O nectar churned from the ocean of all the Vedic scriptures, O most prominent transcendental fruit of all the Vedas, O you who are enriched with all the jewels of spiritual philosophical conclusions, O you who grant spiritual vision to all the people of the world, O life breath of the Vaishnava devotees, O Lord, you are the sun which has arisen to dispel the darkness of Kali Yuga. You are actually Lord Krishna who has returned among us. O Srimad Bhagavatam, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. By reading you, one attains transcendental bliss. Oh, thank you. For your syllables rain pure love of God upon the reader. You're always to be served by everyone, for you are an incarnation of Lord Krishna. Oh, Srimad Bhagavatam, oh, my only friend, oh, my companion, oh, my teacher, oh, my great wealth, oh, my deliverer, oh, my good fortune, oh, my bliss, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O giver of saintliness to the unsaintly, O uplifter of the very fallen, Please don't ever leave me. Please become manifest in my heart, in my throat, accompanied by pure love of Krishna. So I was reminded, I say these prayers quite often, but I was particularly reminded of these prayers by the nice prayers that Divyanga gave when he gave class of Srimad Bhagavatam, and how Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj said that if there's anything, if all the literatures in the world were burnt to ashes and only Srimad Bhagavatam was left, there would be no loss. In fact, it'd be probably a lot of gain. Okay, we're on text number 5. No? Okay. Thanks. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay, Canto 10, Chapter 83, Text Number 5. Shri Rishi Uvacha Ityutama Shloka Shikha Manim Janesh Ityutama Shloka Shikha Manim Janesh Abhistu Vastu Svandaka Kauravastriha Abhistuvatsavhata Svandaka Kauravastriha Samecha Govinda Katamito Grinams Samecha Govinda Katamito Grinams Trilokya Gita Srinivarnayamite Trilokya Gita Srinivarnayamite Sri Rishi Uvacha Ityutama shloka shikha manim janesh Shvabhistu vatstu andaka kauravastriha Samecha govinda katamito grinams Triloka Gita Srinivarnayamite Please chant. Shri Rishir Uvacha Ityutama Shloka Shikha Manim Janesh Srinivarnayamite Sri Rishir Uvacha Sri Uttama Shloka Sika Manim Janesh Abhistu Vatstanda Kakauravastriya Samekya Govinda Katamito Grinam Trilokya Gita Srinivarnayamite Ityutama Shloka Shikha Manim Janesh Abhistu Vatstanda Kakauravastriya Samecha Govinda Katamito Grinam Trilokya Gita Srinivarnayamite. Ladies. Ityutama shloka shikamanim janesh. Abhisus patsanda kakauravastriya. Samecha govinda katamito grinam. Triloka gita srinivarnayamite. Sri Rishir Uvacha Ityutama Shloka Shikamanim Sanesh Avista Sandaka Kaurava Shriya Samecha Govinda Katamito Vrinam Trilokya Gita Srinivarnayamite Sri Rishir Uvacha. The great sage Sukadev said, iti thus, uttama shloka, of great personalities who are glorified in choice poetry. Sikamanim, the crest jewel, Lord Krishna. Janeshu, his devotees, Abhishtu Vatsu, while they were glorifying. Andaka Kaurava, Andaka and Kaurava clans. Striya, of the women. Sametya, meeting. Govindakata, topics of Lord Govinda. Mita, among one another. Agrinam, spoke. Three. Loka, in the world. Gita, sung. Srinu, please hear. Vanayami, I will describe. Te, to you, Parikshit Maharaj. Translation. By Srila Prabhupada's disciples, the great sage Sukadeva Goswami said, as Yudhisthira and the others were thus praising Lord Krishna, the crest jewel of all sublimely glorified personalities, the women of the Andaka and Kaurava clans met with one another and began discussing topics about Govinda that are sung throughout the three worlds. Please listen as I relate these to you. So let's chant 6 and 7 together. Sri Draupadi Uvacha, Hey Vaidarbhya Chute Badre, Hey Jambavati Kaushale, Hey Satyabhame Kalindi, Shaivya Rohini Lakshmane, Hey Krishna Patya Etano, Brutevo Bhagavan Swayam, Upayeme yatalokam anukurvan svamayaya. Translation. Sri Draupadi said, O Vidarbhi, Bhadra and Jambavati, O Kaushala, Satyabhama and Kalindi, O Shaibya, Rohini, Lakshmana and other wives of Lord Krishna, please tell me how the Supreme Lord Achyuta, imitating the ways of this world by his mystic power, came to marry each of you. Purport. The Rohini addressed here by Draupadi is not Lord Balaram's mother, but another Rohini, the foremost of the 16,000 princesses of Lord Krishna, rescued from the prison of Bhaumasura. Draupadi turns to her as the representative of all 16,000 and as a virtual equal to Sri Krishna's 8 chief queens. And the next one together, this is Govinda tune. Sri Rukmini Uvacha. No, together. Let's in unison. Is that what I mean by together? Okay. Chaitya Maryaiptum Upayata Karmukesh. Is that the right tune? Do I have the right tune? It's Govinda, right? Thanks. Chaitya Maryaiptum Upayata Karmukeshu Raja Svajaya Bhatase Karitangri Renu Ninye Mrigendra Eva Bhagam Adratyutva Tatrit Niketa Charano Sumamarchanaya. Translation, Sri Rukmini said, when all the kings held their bows at the ready to assure that I would be presented to Shishupal, he who puts the dust of his feet on the heads of the invincible warriors took me from their midst as a lion forcibly takes his prey from the midst of the goats and sheep. May I always be allowed to worship those feet of Lord Krishna, the abode of Goddess Sri. Let's say that last sentence together. May I always be allowed to worship those feet of Lord Krishna, the abode of Goddess Sri. And the purport, Lord Krishna's pastime of kidnapping Rukmini is narrated in detail in chapters 52 to 54 of Srimad Bhagavatam's 10th canto. Oma gina timirandasya jananjana salakaya chaksu umiritam jena tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So, we have here a change in mood. Yesterday was the beginning of this chapter called Draupadi Meets the Queens of Lord Krishna. And the beginning of the chapter described how the how Yudhishthira and others were glorifying the Lord in very choice, poetic, and philosophical mood. For example, just text 3, Lord Krishna's relative said, O Master, how can misfortune arise for those who even once drink freely the nectar coming from your lotus feet? The intoxicating liquor pours into the drinking cups of their ears, having flowed from the minds of great devotees through their mouths. It destroys the embodied soul's forgetfulness of the creator of their bodily existence. The radiance of your personal form dispels the threefold effects of the material consciousness, and by your grace we become immersed in total happiness. Your knowledge is indivisible and unrestricted. By your yogamaya potency, you have assumed this human form for protecting the Vedas, which has been threatened by time. We bow down to you, the final destination of perfect saints. And as I said, now the mood changes, because now the ladies are together. They're together in their casual association, the ladies of the Andaka and the Kaurava clans. And these Andaka and Kaurava clans, these have existed since way long time. I was looking up. The Andaka dynasty is said to have descended from somebody. Hiranyakashipu or some way back in time, which reminded me, can you pull up, oh best of the, are you the new computer man? Could you pull up 2.10.1, please? These dynasties have existed from time, not I'm going to say immemorial, but anyway, a long time we could say, right? So the ninth canto gives a description of the descendants of various dynasties and how from King Yadu descends like generation after generation after generation before Krishna takes his birth, many, many generations. So this second canto, chapter 10, text number 1, this gives a description of the 10 topics that are discussed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Can we get the Sanskrit, please? Sorry. Atrasarga visargascha stanam poshanam utaya manvantaresh anukata nirodho muktir ashraya. So this verse, okay, now the translation please. Sukadeva Goswami is explaining to Parikshit Maharaj, he's explaining about what's contained in the 10th canto, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, There are 10 divisions of statements regarding the following, the creation, sthana and, sarga and visarga, the creation and the sub-creation, the planetary system, protection by the Lord, creative impetus, change of mind, of science of God, returning home back to Godhead, liberation, and the summum bonum. So obviously, as you well know, we're in the summum bonum, but here in this 10th canto, but this flow of this dynasty is particularly narrated in the 8th and 9th cantos to give us an indication of how time passes so quickly. Time passes so quickly. But aside from that immediate observation that we can get, we can also see how intricate was the Lord's plan to descend. Because he made a plan to descend, and he arranged for all these people to be born in particular places in the dynasty to facilitate his descent. It's quite interesting. And then in the end of the 9th canto, there's a diagram of how the dynasties come about. But so the women of the Andaka and the Kaurava clans, they're together, and what are they asking? They're more or less asking the queens of Lord Krishna, how did you come to Krishna consciousness? More or less. Okay? How did you come to Krishna consciousness? How did you come there? How did you get there to become a wife of Lord Krishna? How did that happen? So then in the 3rd canto, 3.9.11, this is Lord Brahma's prayers for creative energy, and he explains how it is that the particular form of the Lord that one becomes manifest in one's heart. And it's very nice. Okay, here we go. Tvam bhakti yoga paribhavita ritsaroja ashesha shrutekshu pato naninata punsam yad yadiya tad urugaya bivavayanti tat tat vapu pranayase sad anugrahaya. Oh my Lord, now listen to this. Your devotees can see you through the ears, by the process of bona fide hearing. And thus their hearts become cleansed, and you, the Lord, take your seat there in their heart. You're so merciful to your devotees that you manifest yourself in the particular eternal form of transcendence in which they always think of you. So that's a wonderful meditation, no? So that form of the Lord that we're always hearing, that form of the Lord will become manifest to us. And that's more or less what's happening here, because this verse is praising how the Lord is that crest jewel that's always praised with uttama sloka, with choice poetry. And the devotees, they're glorifying a particular form of the Lord which they've heard about. And if you're, as we go through this list of all these wonderful queens of Lord Krishna, they've heard about the Lord most probably through the agency of Narada Muni, and fix their mind on him just through hearing, just by their hearing. And that's so potent, that hearing process. And therefore, so that's the example of perfected souls. Perfected souls, their hearts are so pure that just hearing about the Lord once, and they become totally attached, that they can't give up thinking about him. He takes their seat in their heart, in their consciousness. They can't give up thinking about him for a second. Now for us, and we find it a little bit more challenging, and therefore Srila Prabhupada stresses, and the Bhagavatam stresses, and the great sages stress, and the whole process of our sadhana stresses, repeated and constant hearing. Because by that repeated and constant hearing, then the Lord will become fixed in our minds and our hearts. And to quote a great sage from Silicon Valley, he has this one, Vaisheshika Prabhu, he has many lectures, but this one lecture that's particularly struck me is called Change the Sound and Change Your Fortune. If you don't like what you're hearing, if you don't like what's happening in your life, then change the sound of what you're listening to, and you'll change your fortune. So if you're, meaning, the purport is, if you're listening to mundane sound vibration over and over and over again, and what is the result? If one listens to mundane sound vibration, then the result of that is anxiety. Let's, as we say, call a spade a spade. The result of that is anxiety. Just like Divyanga Prabhu was saying, that it's really hard to distribute books at Christmas time because people are so, they're so angry. Because they've heard all of this sound vibration, buy this, buy that, you gotta do this, you gotta do that for all your kids and do that and don't forget all this and da-da-da. But it doesn't make them happy. It only puts them more and more in anxiety. What to speak of, already it's 8:30, so already most of the presents in the world are already open by now. Did it make everybody happy who opened their presents? Maybe for a few minutes, right? Maybe for a few minutes, maybe for a few days, maybe for a little bit, but is it going to really make them happy in the long run? No. So mundane sound, okay, mundane sound vibration and the goals of a mundane life put one in distress. So if we see that our life is, this distress is increasing in our life, then we have to examine what are we hearing, or what, because personally we can also be superficially hearing transcendental sound vibration. This was also discussed in a few classes. We could be superficially hearing transcendental sound vibration, but the voice inside our mind might be repeating just material bodily identification or things, you know. So if we can change that sound vibration, then we can change our fortune. Again, back to that very succinct little mantra. Change the sound vibration and change our fortune. Change our fortune to have all auspiciousness. Srila Prabhupada says in Bhagavad Gita, our future is very bright. By taking to this process of Krishna consciousness, our future is very bright because by just a simple endeavor in Krishna consciousness that never is forgotten by the Lord, never goes in vain, and gives us the seed to want to hear more. It gives the seed. So if we water that, if we cultivate that, if we cultivate that, then gradually that atmosphere of hearing transcendental sound vibration and taking pleasure in it will grow and fructify within our heart. So that was one thing. That was a few things, actually, when it got from the Andaka dynasty. I got a little distracted. But anyway. But another thing that's interesting I found in these four verses here is the different rasas that the people have with the Lord. Now, Draupadi, her relationship with the Lord was a friend. Draupadi was a friend, an intimate friend of the Lord who heard about Krishna's glories, you know, related to the family and everything because she married Arjuna, but she heard about Krishna's glories even before she had married Arjuna. In fact, she was also known as Krishna, long A, Krishna. She was also, she was so intimately united with him, she was called Krishna, but she had a friendly relationship with the Lord. And she's interested in hearing from these great exalted queens and personalities that have united with the Lord in a conjugal relationship, from them how they've come to be situated where they're situated. And the first one that she's speaking to is Queen Rukmini. So Rukmini's story, again, we hear, she heard from Narada. She heard from Narada, because Narada would travel freely, and he would visit her father's house. Who was Rukmini's father? Gopal? You do know. Rukmini's father? Hmm? Okay, who's her brother? We'll start with that. That'll help spur your memory. Name one of Rukmini's brothers. Rukmi. What happened to Rukmi? Can anyone help him? Rukmi, Janmashtami. Not only that, he got a funny haircut too, because he challenged the Lord so many times, right? So, and Rukmini's father was? Bhishmaka, right? Bhishma. Yeah, okay. So anyway, so Narada would go to his palace and sing the glories of Krishna, and Rukmini became attracted. So what did Rukmini do? Do you remember this part, Gopal? Sorry. What did Rukmini do in order to attract Krishna's attention? You have to mumble it a little louder. So Rukmini was in her palace. Krishna was way far away. She was about to get married to Sisupal. She was in total anxiety, and she...
She called the Brahmana and wrote a message, and the Brahmana sent it to Krishna.
She wrote a love letter to Krishna. She said, I might be very shameless for doing this, but still, because it was so important to her to not have to be united with Shishupal. Who remembers, aside from Gopal, who remembers who Sisupal is compared to, and Sisupal and his companions are compared to in these verses that we read? Prabir? Can you give him the mic, because it's... Yeah, jackals, and Bhagavati? Radhadamodar? Goats and sheep. He was referred to as goats and sheep, because Krishna came and took Rukmini out of the assembly just like a lion, right? Just like a lion takes the prey, steals the prey, you know, like it's not any trouble for him, right? He can do that. So here's another question for you. It's nice to be a little interactive. Do you remember the description that Krishna gave, that was given of Krishna, how he was glorified as, it was in the first verse, it was Yudhisthira and others were thus praising Lord Krishna, and then there was a description of Krishna. Who said that? Was that you? Oh, the crest jewel, and that's called Sikamani, yeah, Sika. Top of your head, the crest jewel of those who are glorified. So I also wanted to just ask the devotees if they had any other remembrances of... I didn't ask the question yet, Bhagavati. I'm sorry, run the microphone over to Bhagavati, please. So my question is, I'll give people time to think of it. My question is, do they remember any other instances or prayers by Draupadi that exhibit her friendly relationship with Krishna after Bhagavati says her...
You mean Rukmini?
No, I mean Draupadi. But do you say what you wanted to say, please?
It's unrelated to the question.
I understand.
Related to the class. Okay, may I?
Yes, because we're giving people time to think of other relationships, other instances where Draupadi exhibits her friendly relationship to Krishna. Go on. Okay. Or Krishna exhibits his friendly relationship to her.
Okay, what I thought of when you were describing Rukmini writing the letter was in Mayapur, and there's a place where Lord Chaitanya told his associates, we're going to do drama tonight,
oh,
and I'm going to play female form, so only self-controlled people, you come.
Uh-huh.
So Advaita Charger, Srivast Thakur, oh, I can't come. You know, no, you have to come, you're my associates. Don't worry, I'll protect you. So he played many female roles that night, but when he was playing Princess Rukmini, he was writing the letter. And in the, he was using the sand for his paper, and his arm for the pen, and the ink was his tears. When he dressed himself in her garment, he took on her mood. Mm. So that was what I wanted to share.
Okay, thanks. Thanks. So anyone else with some remembrances of examples of Krishna's friendly relationship with Draupadi? Nectar of devotion? Please. Or wherever.
When she gave him a piece of cloth.
She gave him a?
Some cloth.
Cloth?
His finger was bleeding. But
oh, you have to tell that story.
I don't remember if it was after killing Shishupal. I'm not sure.
Okay.
And he had, and he got his chakra back. He had a little cut on his finger, and she gave him some cloth.
Oh.
Or like a Band-Aid, something. And then the reciprocation came later when he gave her unlimited cloth.
Oh, how nice. Thanks for saying that. Pran Govinda Prabhu? It's all right.
She had the most decorative, expensive sari, but the love she had did not care for anything. She just torn the sari.
Mm-hmm.
To
not anybody would do that.
Correct.
That's the point. Thank you. Uh-huh.
So, and since that time, Krishna was feeling how to reciprocate. And then in the big assembly where she was stripped naked, that Krishna wanted to fulfill that desire. So instead of little, so anybody serve any expectation, Krishna will multiply into millions and billion times. She gave a little cloth, but she got unlimited.
That's such an interesting point, and such an encouraging point for those of us who still have a tad of fruitive mentality left in us, that if we whatever little service that we render to Krishna, he magnifies it hundreds and millions of times. And he never forgets that. Even from lifetimes, previous lifetimes before, he never forgets that service rendered, and he magnifies it. One of the names for Krishna is Bhavagrahi Janardana, Bhavagrahi Janardana, that he sees the good qualities. And the most famous example that, I mean, there's many examples, but one of the most famous example that's given is Putana, the story of Putana. So when Putana approaches with her poison on her breast, okay, wait a minute, I'll start earlier. We'll start from Vamanadeva's incarnation. So when Vamanadeva first appeared in the sacrificial arena of Bali Maharaj, just as he was going in the area, before anything had happened, Bali Maharaj became so attracted to the beauty of Vamanadeva that he thought within his heart, he thought, I want to give him everything. That was even before there was any exchange or any question or anything. He thought within his heart, I want to give him everything. And then circumstances played out the way they did. And then also in that arena was Bali Maharaj's sister or cousin.
Daughter.
Or
daughter, Ratnamala.
Daughter. And she thought, oh, this little brahmachari is so attractive. I would love to have a son like him.
Ratnamala.
I would love to have a son that's as attractive as him. So that was her first thought.
And Vamanadeva winked.
And Vamanadeva winked. Thank you. And then accepting that. So So then again, everything happened, and Bali Maharaj was cheated of everything, just with what appeared to be three innocent small steps of land. He was asking for three paces of land, which seemed totally harmless. He was cheated of everything in the three worlds. And then then Ratnamala's reaction was, if I had a son like that, I would kill him. So therefore, in due course of time, she takes birth in this famous family with Bakasura and Putana, and who is the third one? Agasura, very famous family. And so she approaches Krishna as a mother, you know, but she has poison on her breast. So Krishna sucks out her life, but he accepts her as a mother. He doesn't regard any of those horrible attitudes that she had. He remembers that loving attitude she had way back, and he glorifies that and elevates her to a position like a nurse, like a mother in Goloka Vrindavan. So again, the point being that whatever little service that we render to the Lord, it becomes magnified hundreds and thousands of millions of times, because that's how kind our Lord is. That's how, unlimitedly kind, incalculably kind. So, I was thinking of some other things of Draupadi, Radhadamodar. Hey, Gopal, Radhadamodar Prabhu. Faster, Gopal.
When the Pandavas were in exile in the forest, she had a pot that she would serve unlimited prasad as long as she had not taken her meals. So after Draupadi and taking her meals, and the Pandavas taking their meals, that Durvasa Muni came by with his thousands of followers and said, "Let's have some lunch." And he says, "Why don't you go take your bath, and when you come back, have lunch ready." So she called for Krishna. That what could she do? How could she serve the Durvasa Muni and his followers? He said, "There's nothing left," she said. So he says, "Bring me the pot." And he looked around. And he saw one little piece of spinach stuck to the pot, and Krishna ate that. And at the river, Durvasa Muni and his followers all felt completely full, and they were embarrassed. They couldn't eat anymore, so they all left.
Amazing, huh? Krishna is so kind. And actually, one thing that I was remembering from the nectar devotion that Prabhupada quotes there, that when Draupadi called out, hey Govinda, in that vicious assembly, hey Govinda, she called out with all her heart. Krishna said he became totally indebted to her, totally indebted to her. Never, ever leave her side because of that heartfelt prayer that she called out. Anyone else? Kalyapani Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. There's a musical verse that summarizes Rukmini kidnapping pastime. Do you want to hear it?
I do want to hear it, and so does everyone else. Thank you.
It's a 500-year-old Irish folk melody.
Oh, and will you sing it?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Now Rukmini heard that Krishna was the most attractive man, so she wrote a note that he should kindly come and take a hand. The trouble was that Rukmi was an enemy to the Lord, and if he tries to steal my sister, I'll arrest him with my sword. Now the hour for the Swayamvara almost had begun, and all the lusty princes thought that they would be the one. When Krishna swooped upon them, they were quickly overcome. And as the couple left for Dwarka, Shishupal was awfully glum. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Thank you very kindly. And our request is that tomorrow, when it's Satya Bhama's turn, that we have another one, another line, okay? Another stanza. Any comments or questions, Prangovinda Prabhu? Or additions or corrections or whatever?
When Lord Krishna was about to go to Dwarka, and Yudhishthira Maharaj was very turmoil of his decision he could not make, and then some or other, nobody could pacify it, apparently. I cannot say that they are qualified. But they went to see Bhishmadev. So then Bhishmadev, deathbed, he was giving us such a high philosophy.
Yeah.
And Draupadi was in the back corner. As a Vedic culture, she would not. But Bhishmadev did notice that Draupadi was smiling, laughing.
Laughing, yeah.
And then at the end, Krishna was in the corner in front of all these thousands of people. Bhishmadev asked Draupadi, "Why you are laughing? Did I say something that is conflicting or anything?" And she asked a question. "How come you're giving such a nice philosophy now? Where were you when they were disrobing me?" And Prabhupada made a very nice point on 1st Canto 9th chapter. I believe 34, somewhere in that, Bhishmadev was replying, "Yes, I was eating the Kaurava's food." So when we eat the food, Prabhupada writes, without offering, we are bound to act under Maya's last greed anger. So Bhishmadev was saying that because he was honoring the food provided, supplied by the Kauravas, he had to support them. And he was contaminated. Of course, Prabhupada said he's never contaminated. Krishna made that arrangement. But he made a point that he felt he was contaminated, and that time his entire vision and everything was corrupted. But now the blood is all the food that given and made the body maintenance is all drained out. Now he's back to pure, so his philosophy is as good as pure.
Thank you. I had remembered that story and wanted to say it, so I appreciate it. Thank you. Yamaraj Prabhu?
I just happened to be reading last night about Bhishma and the reason why he didn't do anything when Draupadi was being disrobed. And according to what I was reading, they were saying that he was, by tradition, the senior people weren't supposed to say anything. So it may be it's the food too, but anyway, that was one of the reasons why. That was one of the reasons why he.
Okay, sometimes it's explained that because Bhishma had given he had given his vow that he would protect the core of a dynasty, so he felt obligated due to being maintained by them, which is what Prangovinda Prabhu was saying, that being maintained by them, he felt obligated. Prabhupada often says, well, in different places he says, but he shouldn't have felt that. But still he's considered Mahajan because he had that position. Anything else? Trivikram Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Nice to see you back on the road again.
Okay, one second. Hold on. Yeah.
Earlier you were talking about mundane songs.
Uh-huh.
And now with the advent of so many cell phones and stuff, especially with all these youngsters, I'm wondering if you should give them some good advice to download nice music and stuff on their phone rather than...
I'll let you do that. You're good at giving good advice. Hold on, let's see what Akuti has to say. Okay, go. She has another example of Draupadi and Krishna, yeah? Okay, hold on. Wait. On Krishna's advice, he wanted... say it again. Oh, he wanted Subhadra to be... somehow or other, Krishna wanted Subhadra to marry Arjuna and to be at the same time accepted by Draupadi. She didn't want any like rivalry there with the co-wives. And so Krishna suggested that Subhadra enter Draupadi's vision in the palace for the first time by putting on the dress of a cowherd girl, a simple cowherd girl. And that way Draupadi became very attracted to Subhadra and didn't feel envious feelings towards her. Hare Krishna. Thanks. Okay. That's that one. And this is proper use of cell phones. Okay. Jai. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the thing to churn the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam. There's always nectar there. Thank you. Hare Krishna. It's always... Oh, that's another one that I remembered. Oh. 325.25. That in the association of devotees, that it Karna Rasayana Kata Tajoshana Vap Sapta Bhagavatmani. Yeah, Bhakti and New Commission. That in the association of devotees, that I don't remember all of that translation very well. That it's more potent. Remembering the pastimes of the Lord is much more potent and it's much more relishable in the association of devotees. You got it up there already? No, you don't. Anyway, that's all right. Anyway, Jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki Jai, Association of Devotees ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada ki Jai. Okay. Kaliapani's Irish folklore for Satyabhama ki Jai. Sorry. You can do it. You're way talented.
Why is Satyabhama tomorrow?